Today, we're talking about the 10 biggest mistakes you could make when moving to Vancouver. I've been doing this for nearly 20 years, helping people move to Vancouver, and I've helped hundreds of families just like yours do exactly what you're looking to do. But I've seen so many people make these insane mistakes that have absolutely ruined their experience, and I don't want this to happen to you. So we're going to start off with one of my most controversial takes, but honestly, these are all bangers that you absolutely need to pay attention to if you want to have a successful move to Vancouver. I find so many people don't realize what they're getting into.
You need to listen to this podcast to make sure
you know what you're doing. Let's get into it right now. Sebastian Albrecht with the Living in Vancouver PC team, and welcome back to the channel. Thank you so much for coming back and joining me once again. If you are new here, this channel is all about moving to and living in Vancouver, and I put out
videos and podcasts just like this one every single week.
This week, we're talking about the 10 biggest mistakes that you can make and that you're going to want to avoid when moving to Vancouver. Without further ado, let's get into number one. Mistake number one, and perhaps my most controversial take here, is that renting when you come to Vancouver is going to be a safer bet. Now, there's nothing wrong with renting. And obviously, in an expensive market like Vancouver, not everybody can afford to buy. So a lot of people that are moving here are obviously intending to rent. And that's absolutely fine. If that's your priority and you don't see the value in owning a home in Vancouver, I get it. However, if you ultimately want to own, it may not be a safer bet to first rent. A lot of people that I talk to move to Vancouver and they're like, I'm going to find a permanent rental and maybe I'm going to stay there a year, maybe 2 years before I decide on exactly where I want to buy. Now, I understand that. I understand that people want to make sure that they're buying in the right neighborhood. However, I want you to keep in mind that you're also potentially losing a lot of money, losing a lot of momentum by renting first. And by renting first, keep in mind, rents in Vancouver aren't incredibly low. So you might be, if you're in the market for, let's say, a $1 million condo, that condo could cost you $5,000 a month in rent. Maybe it's $4,000. Let's call it $4,000. So for $4,000 over the course of a year, that's approximately $48,000. You're throwing away $50,000 right up front for that first year of rent, just to make sure that you're buying in the right location. Now, also on top of that, what happens if the market increases? Our market can move very, very quickly. It's relatively stable. Yes, prices are currently soft and they have been soft for the last couple of years. However, when our market moves, it can move very, very quickly. And so in this example, I just want to say, let's assume prices increase about 5%. Sure, they could drop 5% and you'd be ahead of the game, but they can also rise. And that's the risk you would be taking. If prices rose 5% over the course of your 1 year lease on that $1 million property, well, prices a year from now would be $1,050,000. And on top of that $50,000 that you spent on rent, you would now be behind $100,000 because you decided to rent first. So I just want to make sure that you have that in mind when you're choosing to rent first and you see that as the risk that it actually is. It might work out for you, it might do a lot of good, but you can also purchase first. I have a lot of clients that come to Vancouver and they make a couple visits to Vancouver, they talk to me and we can figure out exactly what the right neighborhood is for them and I can put them in the right home. That is something that I do all the time and I have a lot of happy clients that are doing that. However, I also have clients that have chosen to rent for a while, whether that is 6 months or a year or more, trying to figure out where the right place that they'd like to live is. And that is an absolutely solid decision. It's just that you are taking some big risks there. And I want to make sure that you're aware that renting first isn't necessarily the safe bet that you think it is. Another big mistake that I see people make is coming to Vancouver without a place to stay, having no plan. Now, that's not a smart idea when you're coming to a city like Vancouver. And so how do you transition to living in Vancouver? The thing that you need to know most importantly is that you can't rent from afar. You're not going to be able to rent a long-term rental in Vancouver while you're not in Vancouver. Any landlord in Vancouver is going to be afraid that you're scamming them. They want to see you face to face. They want to shake your hand. And our rental market, despite being relatively soft at the moment, is strong enough that most landlords don't need to make that compromise. They want to see you. They want to shake your hand. They want to look you in the eye when they're renting to you. So what do you do? When you move here, what I'd suggest is in the immediate term, perhaps find a hotel or a short-term Airbnb. Those are two options that you can do from a distance. You can book a hotel for a week, maybe 2 weeks, and then you can transition maybe into a short-term Airbnb. Airbnb. Do that for a month, maybe 2 months, perhaps even 3 months. This would be a furnished rental. This would be secured. It would be insured. You can book it ahead of time and you can book it while you're not in Vancouver. And then during that period of time, you can go really hard at trying to purchase a home if you haven't done it before arriving here in Vancouver. Or of course, you can also transition into a longer term rental. And those would be the options that I'd be looking at when I'm moving to Vancouver. You definitely don't want to be moving here without a plan of where you're going to live. The next mistake I see people make is being too Vancouver centric. Vancouver is just one small part of Metro Vancouver. We are just 110 square kilometers out of about 3,000 square kilometers in Metro Vancouver. And Metro Vancouver is the third largest metro area in Canada with well over 3 million people. But the city of Vancouver is, as I said, just 110 square kilometers, and we have just about 750,000 people in Vancouver. So you can see most people that come to Vancouver, most people that live in the Metro Vancouver area don't actually even live in the city of Vancouver. So don't be too obsessed with trying to fit yourself into Vancouver. You can live the Vancouver lifestyle in many of the municipalities that surround the city of Vancouver, places like North Vancouver, Burnaby, Richmond, or a little further afield, maybe Coquitlam, maybe Mission, maybe even Chilliwack. These are all areas that you can seriously consider when you're moving to Vancouver, and they're going to all offer you something a little bit different.
I have a lot of videos and podcasts that explore
this idea and the region in general. And so if you want to think about some of the other parts of Vancouver that you might want to live in,
please do make sure that you're exploring my other videos and podcasts.
But the point that I want to make is that you really do want to consider the other parts of Vancouver. There are 22 municipalities that make up Metro Vancouver, not just the city of Vancouver. And it's a mistake, in my opinion, only to focus on Vancouver when you're thinking about moving to this region. You could really be missing out on your perfect home in the perfect area at the right price for you. The next mistake I think a lot of people are making is assuming that Vancouver is just too expensive. To be honest, I kind of feel that this is a rumor that Vancouverites put out there, along with how bad our weather is, to prevent people from moving here. But you need to dig a little deeper. Yes, this is an expensive city, but as I said in the last point, you don't just have to focus on Vancouver. And Vancouver, at its very center, is essentially the most expensive real estate that you're going to find in the region. But the further you go afield outside of the city of Vancouver, the cheaper and the more affordable the price points are going to be around real estate, whether you're owning or renting. And this can be a massive price difference. You can find real estate in the Metro Vancouver area that is well under 50% of what it's going to be at the very core of Vancouver. You could find a $5 million house on the west side of Vancouver, and the equivalent out further afield, further into the suburbs, might be $1.1 million. There could be a huge, massive price difference. And if you're not exploring that, if you're just assuming that this city is too expensive for you to move to, you're making a really big mistake. You definitely want to realize that there are more affordable options as well as regions of Metro Vancouver. Now, before you get too excited about all of the more affordable options that are out there, one thing that I see people doing all the time is not realizing how important the commute time that you're going to have is. Not taking your commute time seriously is a huge mistake. And this is really challenging if you're just looking at a map. From an overhead view, Vancouver isn't really that big of a region, and it looks like it's pretty easy to get from point A to point B. Now, I understand not everybody needs to commute downtown, and a lot of you who are considering moving here often these days also work from home. So perhaps commuting isn't a big issue for you. However, it's not just commuting to work, it's also commuting to the things that you love to do. Yeah. Perhaps you're not going to get into the mountains every day. Perhaps you're not going to get out to the ocean. But if those are really critical things for you, then you also want to consider what the commutes are going to be like for you to get to the places that you want to get to, whether that's work or leisure. And so the important thing to realize here is that Vancouver is an area, a region that's confined geographically. We are bound by mountains and ocean and border and agricultural land reserve. On every single side, we are contained, but we're crisscrossed by waterways, whether it's the ocean, a bay, a creek, or it's the Fraser River. We are at the Fraser River Delta, and the result is that every part of Metro Vancouver is separated by waterways. And in order to cross those waterways, we have roughly about 25 bridges and a couple of tunnels. And as a result, those are all congestion points. It can make getting from point A to point B, that looks from a bird's eye view to be really close together, incredibly difficult and incredibly challenging. And those commutes can be entirely out of your control. If an accident happens or there's construction underway, it can make your commute a nightmare. And that's something that you really need to understand when you're considering moving a little further out. So I did stress this idea that you don't necessarily need to live in Vancouver, that you should be considering some outlying areas, but you don't want to ignore the impact of your commute. And it's not just the cost of the commute, but it's also the amount of time you're spending in your commute. And there are so many studies these days saying that people that have longer commutes live less happy lives. You're going to be happier living closer to where you have fun and where you work. Spending less time commuting is better for your health. So those are all things to keep in mind when you're moving here. It's a real mistake not to consider the impacts of the commute that you're likely to have. But how do you figure that out? Well, Google Maps is a great place to start. You can put in two different locations and see how long it's going to take you at different times of day. That really helps. But there's also another app that I've discovered that I encourage all of my clients to use. And that app is called Travel Time. This is an app that shows you exactly what kind of commutes you can expect from a specific location. I love this app. I spend a lot of time looking at it when I'm helping clients who are really focused on commute times and they're not really sure of exactly where they want to be. I highly recommend using both of those apps. But again, be sure that you're considering your commute time when you're thinking about where you want to live in Metro Vancouver. The next biggest mistake that I see people making is focusing too much on price and not actually on value. And this is a struggle I find a lot with clients. Most people, understandably, are absolutely focused on the bottom line, and all they see is the exact monthly payment that they're spending every month. The problem is, there can be a lot of hidden expenses when it comes to home ownership. You might be buying a home that is in the wrong area, and as a result, you have this crazy commute that costs you a lot of your happiness, and it costs you a lot of money to make that commute. And that's something that sometimes people don't take into account. But there's also deferred maintenance that you could have, whether it's a house, a condo, or a townhouse, whatever type of home ownership you're looking at. Those types of homes can all have crazy deferred maintenance, and you can get in a lot of trouble. Let's say that you're buying a house that requires a brand new roof, or requires all new windows, or maybe the foundation has issues and you need to replace that foundation. You want to be aware of all of those things when you're purchasing a home and not get swayed just by the price point that you see. You want the best possible value. You want to buy the best possible home in the neighborhood that has the most appeal for you. And that is not always the cheapest option. Sometimes you need to pay a little bit. And so often I am encouraging clients to consider properties that perhaps are a little smaller. Maybe the square footage isn't exactly where they want to be, but the quality of the property is considerably higher. And that is the truth of Move to Vancouver, is that quite often people are buying smaller homes. The closer you're going to be into the center of the city, the more likely you're living in a smaller home than you're probably living already at home, or that you would be in some of the suburbs around Vancouver. And that's a sacrifice that people who are deciding that they want the value of living in Vancouver at the center of the city, that's a trade-off that a lot of people are willing to make. And if you're not, then perhaps the trade-off for you would be, let's move out a little further. And there we can find better value in the quality of home at a more reasonable price point, perhaps. But these are all questions that we can explore together when you're ready to find your home in Vancouver. And of course, as you know, I'm a real estate agent that has helped hundreds of families settle in Vancouver, find the right neighborhood, and find the right home over my nearly 20 years in this business. And I can help you and your family as well. There's three different ways you can reach me. One, you can call or text at 604-831-4837. You could email me at sebastian@albrechtgroup.ca, or you can book a conversation with me directly at calendly.com/albrechtgroup. Be sure to reach out anytime, whenever you're ready. The next mistake I see people making is feeling like a house is their only option. The reality is, in Vancouver, houses can be out of reach in terms of price for many people. This is a market where an average house might cost about $2.5 million. Of course, there, as we discussed, are less expensive parts and regions of Metro Vancouver. But if you're focused on one of the more expensive regions, perhaps owning a house isn't in the cards, and that's okay. This is a market where more than 50% of all sales are actually alternative forms of housing. They're condos, they're townhouses, and they're duplexes. And these are all less expensive options than houses. The reason that houses are so expensive is because of the most expensive asset, which is land. This is a place where land is incredibly expensive. And so if you're trying to find a more affordable option, if your budget doesn't allow for the price point of houses, you can legitimately consider alternatives. Even as a family, there are many families that live in smaller homes, in more affordable homes. And those are all legitimate options. There are great family neighborhoods that have fantastic condos, that have fantastic townhouses and duplexes. In fact, near where I live, which I personally consider one of the best family neighborhoods in the city, in the Main Street corridor of Vancouver, there are a lot of families living in condos and a lot of families living in townhouses. And that allows them to live in a really nice family neighborhood instead of going way out into the suburbs and spending a lot of time commuting. So those families have realized that the value for them is in the city. They give up the idea of house ownership in order to stay closer into the city. And of course, the people who don't see that value, they've moved off into the outer suburbs and they're living happily their own lives in houses a little bit further out rather than at the city center. But the thing that I want to drive home here is that you don't have to own a house. And most people in Vancouver actually not only don't own them necessarily, but they don't live in them at all. A lot of people, well over 50% of our population, actually don't live in houses, and you don't have to either. The next mistake I see people making is thinking that you need a car to live in Vancouver. The reality is you can not only survive in the city, but you can actually thrive in this region without a car. Yes, it's going to be a little more feasible at the core of the city in the most densely populated areas, but all of the options, the alternative options to driving, are improving throughout the Metro Vancouver area. So you can not only live in downtown Vancouver without a car, which is a little more obvious, you can live on Main Street in Mount Pleasant on Commercial Drive, but you can also look at North Vancouver, you could look at Brentwood or Metrotown in Burnaby or Coquitlam Town Center or Surrey City Center. These are all areas where you could really legitimately live without owning a car, predominantly because of how good our transit system is, and especially the SkyTrain. If you're on the SkyTrain route, personally, I would happily live without a car. However, I do have 4 little kids and I am a real estate agent that is moving around the city all the time. I do think if you have kids, it's going to be a little more challenging, but I do know families that live in Vancouver that don't have a car or that don't typically rely on their car, and they rely a lot more on alternative forms of transportation. It's not just transit. It's going to be things like car shares, bike shares, scooter shares. We have a great cycling network. We also have Uber and Lyft and of course all the taxis. And the other thing is, as I've mentioned, Vancouver is a relatively small city. It's a relatively walkable city. So a lot of people also just walk. And depending on where you choose to live, my first condo, as an example, was within a 10-minute walk of where I worked. I chose to live that close to work. My colleague at the time chose to live on the Sunshine Coast. He had an hour and a half commute in each direction because he chose to live there. And he did that really happily. But an hour and a half commute seemed insane to me. I loved living within a 10-minute walk of my work. He and I both spent the same amount of money. He had a single family detached house on the Sunshine Coast, and I had a 1-bedroom condo in Kitsilano. Obviously, very different price points, but he was a family guy. He had a kid at the time and was expecting to have more kids. I was single. Totally made sense for each of us. But the point that I'm trying to make here is you can decide on where you want to live and the kind of lifestyle that you want. And you can legitimately choose to live in Vancouver without a car. This is not a city where you have to have a car. If you'd like to live without a car, if you'd like to live a healthier lifestyle, or just spend a little more time connecting with your neighborhood, that is possible in Vancouver, as well as some of the suburbs surrounding Vancouver. So don't make the mistake when you move here, assuming that you have to have a car. There can be alternatives if you'd like there to be. Another big mistake that I see people making is not understanding the regulations. And most importantly, if you're not Canadian and you're not a permanent resident, you may not even be able to buy in Vancouver. And this is a frustrating point. This is a point that I find is a huge surprise for a lot of non-Canadians that reach out to me. And I hear from a lot of you, and I understand the frustration. But at the moment, we have a temporary ban on all foreign buyers in Canada. This is in place until 2027. More than likely, it's going to be extended, but perhaps not. So this is something that you do want to check in on again in the future if you are looking at moving here. But there are some exceptions to this rule. Number one would be if you're here on a student visa. However, it doesn't really apply to Vancouver because the cap on purchasing for anyone on a student visa is $500,000. And there's not too many homes in Metro Vancouver that you're going to want to buy that are under $500,000. And of course, you're more likely to find more the further out you go into the distant suburbs. The other big loophole would be if you're coming here on a work visa. And so if you are on a work visa, there is an exception for you. You are allowed to purchase in Canada. You're going to want to make sure of these regulations. So be sure to reach out to me if you're wondering about this. But for Metro Vancouver in particular, there's another regulation you want to be aware of. And that's in BC, in the more densely populated areas, there's a 20% tax on foreign buyers. And this is a doozy. So even if you are exempted from the foreign buyer ban, you're going to have to pay a penalty. And that's a very hefty penalty in a very expensive market. So something you definitely want to be aware of. There is one little loophole that you might be able to squeeze through, and that's if you're in the provincial nominee program. And if you are, well, then you're not going to have to pay that 20% tax. But these are regulations as somebody moving to Vancouver and perhaps not Canadian yet, but wanting to be Canadian, you really need to be aware of. Perhaps the biggest mistake I see people making is focusing on trying to find the perfect home. Over the course of my career, I've run into a lot of people. They're just trying to find the needle in the haystack. And more often than not, those people never find that property. And essentially, they're renters forever. If they had just compromised a little bit 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, they'd have done so well financially. It's insane. And they missed out on that opportunity just trying to find that absolutely perfect house. In my experience, that home doesn't exist. And perhaps to some degree, this is true of every single market. But honestly, I think it's more true of Vancouver than most. This is a market that requires compromise. And so it's really, really important that you understand your wants and your needs. But these things should be organic to some degree. So you might start out with these requirements, but as you move forward with the search of your home, perhaps you realize that some of these requirements aren't going to happen for you. As an example, trying to find a waterfront condo in Vancouver. Over the course of your exploration, as we search together, perhaps we discover that in your price range and in the area and the building that you want, this isn't feasible within your budget. Now, you can make the sacrifice on space. Perhaps you're going to find a smaller condo that is waterfront and that is going to work within your budget. Or perhaps you discover that the backside of the building that doesn't have the waterfront view is significantly less expensive and fits within your budget. But this is the way that ultimately you're going to find a home that works for you. You do need to make compromises in this market, unfortunately. I find that's true no matter how much money you have. If you have $500,000, you wish you had $550,000. If you have $5 million, you wish you had $5,500,000. At every single price point, I find clients needing to make compromises. What the exact home that they want is just outside of their price range. And that's a very, very frustrating experience that I don't want you to have. And I want to make sure that you're prepared just to think about the kind of compromises that you're going to be willing to make when you're buying a home here in Vancouver. And when you're ready to buy a home, don't forget that I am a real estate agent that has helped hundreds of families just like yours not only find the right neighborhood, but also find the right home. And I can help you and your family as well when you're ready, of course. There's no pressure. All we're going to have is a conversation. We're going to see if we're the right fit and I can help find you that right home. I'm very confident I can. But if you're not quite ready to do that, I totally understand.
That's why I make these podcasts.
To help you understand what it's like to live in Vancouver, to help you explore this entire region and make sure this is the place that you want to move to. I have a back catalog of nearly 150 videos now. I've been doing this for well over 3 years. And no matter the question you have, I have you covered. But of course, if you have other questions that I haven't covered, I'd love to hear from you. Be sure to reach out, whether it's an email, a text message,
or a comment under this podcast.
I'd love to know the other questions that you're curious about.
Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate you sticking to this podcast all the way to the end.
I'll see you next week.